So on a daily basis, I use ChatGPT for software development. So all my code over the last year, pretty much is generated by the AI. And I'm using it not offering AI tooling, like, you know, every application now has an AI feature. I don't have an AI feature in auto-spotting, but the way I build auto-spotting evolved using the AI.
You're listening to Simply Blocks Cloud Commute Podcast, your weekly 20-minute podcast about cloud technologies, Kubernetes, security, sustainability, and more. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the next episode of Simply Blocks Cloud Commute. I'm really happy to have you all back, and I'm really happy to have my guest for today. Chris, I'm really sorry I don't try to pronounce your last name. I can only fail. I mean, we're not, I guess, like, location-wise, we're not too far off from each other, but I will not try that. So maybe just introduce yourself. Who are you? Where are you from? What do you do?
Yeah, so my name is Christian. I'm based in Berlin, but I'm originally from Romania. I came to Berlin more than 12 years ago, so almost, yeah, enough to be a local, but not quite. Especially with my name, it's hard for everybody to pronounce it. But don't worry. So what I do is I have a lot of background in this IT space, and then yeah. I've been working with AWS for many years. So mm-hmm. Eventually I entered this area of cost optimization and yes, had some stuff in that space built over the last 8 years now. So it's called AutoSpotting. It's a tool for cost optimization in AWS. And for a while I actually worked at AWS itself and then quit AWS 1.5 years ago to work full time on this, and I'm also helping customers with cost optimization as a service. It's just myself, so I'm like a solopreneur. I have an offering which comes around just optimizing costs for startups and medium sized companies. I try to focus on people who are more, let's say, more agile, more my state of mind as well, and mm-hmm. With building tools as I do stuff and offering these, yeah, the entire thing as a service.
Right. So you mentioned AutoSpotting, and I think that is your company. That's also the name of the tool. Maybe you can elaborate a little bit. You mentioned it's in the cost optimization space. So how does that tool work?
Yeah, so it's meant to orchestrate the spot instances in AWS. I'm not sure if your audience is familiar with this topic, but spot is just unused capacity in the cloud. It's not very far from the idea of when you go on a last minute trip somewhere. Mm-hmm. So imagine that, you know, the hotel has fixed capacity. So basically, they can take a number of people, but not always it's at full capacity. So what they do is they give this free capacity to other people at a lower price. So they get it at a discount. And that's also what I do in the cloud. So with spot instances, you actually get this unused capacity at a discount. But basically, unlike the hotel, for example, let's say your hotel would get full, the capacity, like, you would just be told there's no more free capacity. But like the cloud providers, the way it works, they try to have this illusion of unlimited capacity. So from the cloud provider's perspective, it's a big problem if a customer fails to provision some of the capacity mm-hmm. they need. So what they do is they always try to have some spare capacity, keeping it in a way that allows anybody who wants to spin up something to be able to do it, right?
Right.
So that kind of gets them in a situation where they need to have a spare at all times. It's also like what happens is you have a lot of options to choose from. So if you get back to the analogy of the hotel space, it's like you would imagine having all the hotels in a big city in a single chain. And let's say there's an event and you want to go there. If one of them is full, you can always be redirected to another one. So mm-hmm. That's kind of how it works with the spot instances. When a certain capacity pool gets full, you can go and get capacity from a different one, as if you would go to a different hotel in case the first one is full. So that's kind of, you can get this still illusion of unlimited capacity, mm-hmm. but by distributed over multiple capacity pools. And the tool that I have is actually meant to orchestrate. It was back in the days where this spot service was still at the beginnings, but basically it was orchestrating this diversification across multiple capacity pools in a way that's reliable, so that you always get that capacity. Now, what happens in the cloud, and it's not happening in the real world, is the capacity can be claimed if somebody else needs it. So imagine you would go to this trip, and you would be told by the hotel that somebody wants to pay the full price for this, and then next day you would have to vacate your room and go somewhere else.
Right, right.
It's not something that can happen in the real world, but in the cloud they do this. So they give that capacity to somebody else who pays the full price, and then you're out outside, like with your luggage. But my tooling actually would find a replacement spare capacity for you, mm-hmm. If nothing is available, like across all the options, then it would find reduced fee capacity pool. So then, in the worst case, you still get an expensive room, but you get something to spend your day.
So that means when I understood you correctly, you in your tool, I'd say I need a capacity of, I don't know, like 50 CPUs and that amount of RAM over that many machines, and you would try really hard to find spot instances, and if for some reason AWS says I need like 10 of those spot instances right now because somebody's paying the full price or something, you would just spin up to other instances somewhere else and like, yeah, okay, I still got the spot instances.
Yeah, that's kind of how it works. It's just that the way it works is it connects to your existing capacity groups. Mm-hmm. In AWS, it's called autoscaling. So you have these groups of typically identical instances. Mm-hmm. And auto-spotting, just you install it in the account, and it can look at all your groups as long as the group has a certain tag attached to it. The group will be considered for this action. Mm-hmm. So it happens entirely without you having to configure anything except for the tag that tells it to look at the group. So it will go to the group and replace the instances one by one with this spot clone instance. Mm-hmm. So basically the groups would, like, you, it just runs, and over a few hours, one by one, the instances would be replaced with this cheaper instances.
So how do I have to think about that if AWS says I need those instances? Do they disappear in like seconds?
Yeah. So when the capacity is claimed back, there is an event coming, mm-hmm. and basically when that event comes, you have 2 minutes to vacate your room. And what I do in those 2 minutes, I find you a different one. and start a new instance with a new capacity, and then that will be terminated after those 2 minutes pass. You will be evicted from it.
Right.
So,
but is
your
that
applications?
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. So your application needs to be able to sustain these interruptions.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you think of it, the application is running on multiple identical instances in a group.
Mm-hmm.
So those groups may scale up and down based on the load. And then when they scale up and down, it means that it has to be somewhat flexible with the capacity. So it's like stateless, basically. It should be stateless. And if the group is stateless, and many of them actually are, then this entire process is seamless for the user. Mm-hmm. So like there is a load balancer in front of the group that sends you traffic, and then the users will not notice anything.
Right.
Because you still get some replacement.
Right. And yeah. And that means if I see that correctly, as a developer building an application, I don't have to do anything special as long as my application is like cloud native and basically scalable. I'm good, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's the way it works. And I mean that's the whole idea, how people can actually use this reliably. And I have people who use it in production. Like,
mm-hmm.
as long as the application is built in this way, it's a great way to save money for companies. Yeah.
And it from what I heard, it also works together with the automatic scaling that AWS gives you. It's just that in the worst case, your tool steps in, interferes, and says, I don't want that instance. I want that. Is that correct? Is that
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly the way it works. So mm-hmm. it works with, there are these API calls to attach and detach capacity to the group. So what I do, I spin up an instance, attach it to the group, and terminate and detach the existing one.
Right. But it
and
uses...
that allows me to, yeah, it allows me to keep the group configuration untouched, which is mm-hmm. important for customers where maybe they have a legacy application they don't want to touch, or yeah. Could be for whatever reason easier to just work from outside the configuration rather than maybe reconfiguring 100 groups one by one.
Right.
Because the entire configuration is automated.
But does auto spotting also do like the actual scaling, or is that still the scaling group from AWS and you're basically just...
That's the group's job. So I don't interfere with the
Got
group.
It.
But when the group spins up the new scale, the new instance that it scaled out,
mm-hmm.
Then I immediately replace it.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That is very cool. So I guess, bluntly said, the biggest thing is the cost efficiency for the customer, because I guess the spot instances are way more cheaper. Yes, way cheaper than yeah. regular instances.
Yeah, I mean, you get around, let's say it depends a lot by instance type.
Mm-hmm.
The prices go up and down based on supply and demand. There are at times during the year, there are times where people tend to need more capacity, and then the prices go up. And then other times when they go back down, and yeah, it's like a marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, typically the savings are nowadays around 60-ish%, 50-60%,
wow.
Depending on the instance type and region. And yes,
so that means it basically gives you the same cost cut as a 3 years reservation without the actual reservation. That's actually really
yes.
cool. Wow.
And the benefit is that if you don't need it, you just stop it and you don't pay for it.
Right.
Whereas the reservation is flat fee per hour. So, I mean, I have a customer right now who's working in the stock market, and they have this daily traffic pattern, like during the stock exchange open hours, They have a lot of traffic, and they spin up capacity, and then at the end of the day they can shut it down. Whereas if you're paying a savings plan, you would provision the savings plan for the whole, like, 24 hours, and you would definitely get savings. But if you consider that maybe you only need that capacity for the 8 hours of the stock market, probably it would be better to just run it as on demand rather than being right. buying a savings plan if you cannot use spot for that workload. So, yeah.
So that means from a customer's perspective, or from a customer's group perspective, I think there is, like, the group that is perfectly fine with reservations. They have, like, a fairly consistent kind of load on the system.
Flat capacity.
Right. Yeah. And for them, it's great. And they can look into the future and, like, yeah, we need those systems, or we need that capacity in a year, in 3 years. It's all good. We only scale up. And then there's the kind of people, or the kind of companies, like you said, like stock market, or any kind of, like, very regional online shop or whatever, where you have, like, high hours or high load hours, you have low load hours. And I think those are perfect candidates for auto spotting. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's very, I have customers from all sorts of verticals, but yeah, it's very important if you can follow the traffic pattern of the users. Mm-hmm. If it's flat capacity, I mean, you can as well just purchase the 3 year all up front, and you get a bit better savings than this. But this doesn't have any commitment. So if you want to do something different, you have the flexibility to just stop altogether.
And I think the having the flexibility, not having, like, this fixed commitment, that is really interesting, not only for production, but I could also see that it's really interesting during a research phase, for a development phase, stuff like that, where you have, like, a time where you really need more capacity, because now you're having this, like, new research project, or you have a bunch of developers working on something else, but then you have times where you really don't need that capacity. That's cool. That's really cool. So you said 60%, or roughly 60%. Is that virtual machines only, or does that also work for other things?
Just the virtual machines.
Okay, just virtual. That's fair. It's still, I think, a good chunk of money.
For storage and databases, I have different tools. For storage, I have something that converts between the storage volumes, GP2 to GP3. Mm-hmm. And for databases, I have a tool that converts the instance type to the ARM Graviton instance types, and also does a right sizing in the process of conversion. So if you have a over-provision capacity, if we look at the metrics and say, okay, this is maybe too big, let's use the smaller one.
Okay, so that certainly sounds like you have to come back talking about those kinds of things. That's really cool. I think you install the tool into your own AWS account. I think that is what you said, right? Do you do this from the marketplace?
Yeah, it's available on the marketplace. Previously, it was open source, so you could just get it from GitHub. But after I left AWS, I'm kind of full time on this and trying to make a living.
That's fair.
Yeah, I try to get some revenue out of it, but I'm not charging. I mean, the current version is charging 5% of the savings. Mm-hmm. I'm going to increase the pricing a bit in the next version, but just that I'm trying to get some affiliates to do marketing for me. And with 5%, there's not much to share with them.
That is true.
But, other than that, yeah.
So
I'm trying to be as low cost as possible. Yeah.
Right. So from you said new version, anything you want to share about that? Anything exciting you're really looking forward to have implemented?
I mean, I last version was like 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. And over these last 6 months, every time I have a customer reporting something, I implement it. And basically, I added a bunch of new interesting things. a lot of work in the efficiency of the software. So it uses less memory from the Lambda because it's running in Lambda. And there was also something when it comes to deployment. So when you have a deployment, sometimes you spin up instances during the deployment and you don't want to interfere with the deployment until it's over. So there is a wait logic for that.
So deployment in the sense of the customer's application. So if I deploy a whole new, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So if the application is deployed on newly launched instances, sometimes they were like, I don't want this to be touched until the deployment is over.
So it's some kind of a cool off phase or whatever you want to call that.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Or maybe warm up phase, depending on what the application does. Okay. Oh, mm-hmm. Cool. I can see how this is very useful for a lot of customers or potential customers. We're almost running out of time, but I have one last question, something I really, really ask everyone so far. Like, what do you think is like the new trend? What do you see is like the big future we're heading to?
I mean, I guess over the last year or so, it's pretty clear it's the AI. And everybody's doing something in that space. I mean, it could be as well just like the .com the situation could also implode at some point. But I see a huge gains out of using the AI on my own work. So on a daily basis, I use ChatGPT for software development. So all my code over the last year pretty much is generated by the AI. And I'm using it not offering AI tooling, like, you know, every application now has an AI feature. I don't have an AI feature in auto-spotting, but the way I build auto-spotting evolved using the AI. So yeah, that's kind of the trend that I see.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's interesting that you say you build with ChatGPT. I have mixed experiences with that. What I found for all of those tools, no matter if it's like a ChatGPT or Copilot or any of those tools, they really work great when you give them when you give them some source code and ask them like, hey, do you have recommendations? Like having a virtual pair programming partner, that is absolutely amazing. Not everything is correct, and sometimes you're like, yeah, okay, that's maybe not what you want, but it's much better. And I got some pretty decent results with that kind of use case. Anyway, as I said, we are unfortunately out of time. 20 minutes is super short. But really, really interesting. As I said, you probably have to come back for the other tools when you want to talk about more about those, because they also sound super interesting.
Sure.
And thank you for being here. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for having me. And it was also a pleasure for me.
Yeah. And for the audience, I hope you come back next week and you listen in again and with some more cool audience guests. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
The Cloud Commute podcast is sponsored by SimplyBlock, your own elastic block storage engine for the cloud. Get higher IOPS and low predictable latency while bringing down your total cost of ownership. www.simplyblock.io